Jesus was here. Now, I saw that internet meme. Do you know what an internet meme is? Raise your hand if you know what an internet meme is. Raise your hand if you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's a picture with a sort of a title on it or a caption. Current internet memes might have a picture of, somebody famous. Let's say it's the president, and then it has something on it, a saying, or a sad cat face. A most recent one on the United Church of Christ memes Facebook page says, found out that open communion doesn't apply to cats. And there's a sad cat face. And then that spreads sort of virally through the internet. Not like the flu, although not unlike the flu. It just keeps going and going and going, and people do it. So I saw this one on the internet about May. It showed a grocery store shelf labeled water, and then there were wine bottles on the shelves right beneath that. And then there was the caption at the bottom, Jesus was here. There's a picture of it attached on our website on the digital version of the sermon. You can take a look at it. And it came to you in your email. If you subscribe to our email list each week, it came to you in that. So you got to see that picture. And this week's Bible reading describes the source material for that picture. Did you like that? The first recorded miracle of Jesus. There, see, I said it without saying Jesus. It was turning water into wine. And you know what? I don't know how he did it. And I don't know how it really, really happened, other than what we read in the story. But here are some things I have heard over the years. And keep in mind, I grew up in a very conservative church where wine was not okay. No alcoholic beverage was okay. So here's some kinds of things that I've heard throughout my life. It wasn't really wine. It was more grape juice. I've heard, the wine of Jesus' time wasn't the kind that makes a person drunk. I've also heard, Jesus wasn't endorsing the consumption of alcohol. He was simply doing what his mother asked. Okay, I'm going to buy that one. But the other ones, no, it was real wine. It was the kind of wine that made a person drunk. And Jesus drank the wine too. Even though it doesn't say Jesus drank the wine, I am sure he drank the wine. He turned water into wine, and the guests were really happy. Jesus gave extravagant hospitality in a situation where he was a guest. And you know what? It's even likely that Jesus got a little tipsy because he was at a wedding on this occasion and probably some others, because people did that. I also think, though, and it's important to know this, it's important for us to know that there are people that have problems with alcohol consumption, either from their moral perspective or as a person who has abused alcohol, or a person who's been affected by someone who abuses alcohol. I don't think that a person should ever use this verse or this group of verses to berate or cut down a person who chooses for whatever reason not to drink. I also don't think that the story should be used to say that alcohol consumption is just fine. And ultimately, this story isn't about drinking alcohol. It's about abundance and hospitality. The wedding guests were out of wine. Wine was part of the celebration. And Jesus, at his mother's request, responded to the need. Because Jesus does that. Sometimes responding to the need may be something controversial. There isn't agreement on the need. There isn't agreement on the solution. Maybe there's fear-mongering or hatred or any number of attempts to marginalize any movement to move forward to a better day. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was in a Birmingham jail. He had led nonviolent demonstrations for civil rights, nonviolent demonstrations against racism, nonviolent demonstrations against injustice, and he had been chastised for his part in them. He had been called an outside agitator and had received a, "You don't belong here, why don't you just mind your own business" letter from the local clergy. Listen to these words from Dr. King. "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow, provincial, outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds." Dr. King called it an inescapable network of mutuality. He said that we, humanity, are in this thing together. We're so in it together that even when we have deep disagreements, we have to find ways to not be outside of this inescapable network of mutuality. As a matter of fact, there's no way we can be outside of it. We have to find ways to work toward something better. Reverend Joffrey Black, who is the president and general minister of our United Church of Christ, has joined with faith leaders from 40 denominations representing 80 million people, speaking to 80 million people, not necessarily for, but he has joined with leaders from 40 denominations across the United States in a movement called Faiths United to Prevent Gun Violence. In a letter he sent to, or that was sent to President Obama with his signature, Faiths United calls for increased criminal background checks on all gun sales, a ban on high-capacity weapons and ammunition magazines, and tougher federal gun trafficking laws. And I know it reads just like something that you would see coming from the Democratic Party, but this comes from faith leaders across the spectrum. Evangelical, liberal, Catholic, Protestant. In the letter from Faiths United to Prevent Gun Violence, it says this: "Gun violence is taking an unacceptable toll in our society, in mass killings and in the constant day-to-day of senseless death. While we continue to pray for the families and friends of those who have died, we must also support our prayers with action. We should do everything possible to keep guns out of the hands of people who may harm themselves or others." So, big question, is this current wedge issue, and a wedge issue meaning something that drives a wedge in between people of good faith who normally get along on things, or maybe they don't, but it's a reason to divide instead of to join together. So is this current wedge issue regarding gun violence and gun control an easy one? No. Are there strong opinions in churches, in communities, states, in our nation, and throughout the government? Yes. Does it seem that a conversation about solutions for the common good is almost impossible? Yes. But does that mean that people of good conscience, good faith, and good intentions can't unclench their fists and work together towards a solution? No, it doesn't mean that. Who drinks and who doesn't? It's not the point. The point is that humanity has to stop finding ways to berate, belittle, harm, and kill each other. Dr. King had it right. We are caught in this inescapable network of mutuality. And if we inject violence into our inescapable network, the violence doesn't wane, it grows. Violence cannot cast out violence. Hate cannot cast out hate. toxic speech cannot cast out toxic speech. Because kindness is what leads to kindness. Generosity leads to generosity. Forgiveness leads to forgiveness. Cooperation leads to cooperation. Love leads to love. Hospitality leads to hospitality. Jesus responded to a need. Some today see that move, that response, as controversial, or they try to explain it away in a way that makes it less controversial or not controversial at all. But it was real wine, the kind that could make a person drunk, and Jesus drank the wine too. And it's not a reason to fight. It's a reason to be called to something better. Better than the best that you might put out at the beginning of a wedding feast. Better than what we use simply to impress others. This is the kind of better that changes the world. It's the kind of better that not only recognizes but celebrates that we are woven together in an inescapable network of mutuality. It's the kind of better that Jesus talks about when he says, I have come to bring you life, abundant life. Dr. King reminded us of our unbreakable connection to one another. Jesus reminds us that that connection is to be celebrated with kindness, generosity, forgiveness, cooperation, love, and hospitality. And Jesus calls us, as he did to the servants at the wedding feast, to fill it to the brim. Amen.